Welcome to episode 2 of our podcast, Tooth and Claw, where Wes, Jeff, and I, my name is Mike by the way, talk about wild animal attacks. This week we talk about the Amur tiger, more commonly known maybe as the Siberian tiger. Wes wanted to make sure we slipped that bit of info in there at the top, and that'll probably be the last educational thing I'll be saying today. Wes, on the other hand, will be a lot more informative in telling you the story of a tiger breakout that happened at the San Francisco Zoo, and the violent and surprisingly chaotic aftermath that ensued. We also do want to mention that we did record this several months ago, just as COVID-19 was starting to shut everything down, just to give a frame of reference around any events or dates that are discussed outside of the story itself. Again, since we're a newer podcast, every single person who rates and reviews Tooth and Claw favorably makes a huge difference. So if you wouldn't mind taking a quick second to do that for us, we would be forever grateful. Thank you. All right, let's get into episode 2 on the Amur tiger.
So we're back. It's been a little bit of a break.
Yeah. Not too much has changed since last time.
We're all just exactly the same. There's nothing different.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of quarantine for COVID-19. The three of us are quarantined together. So here we are.
What's the most bored thing you guys have done during quarantine?
Bored?
Like,
I did a puzzle that I've already done, which felt pretty boring to me.
That you can't top that. I was just going to go with the standard, like, I watched 2 seasons of a show consecutively without taking a break.
Yeah.
Without taking a break. Impressive. Yeah.
I mean, it was Ozark, so it was like 10 episodes.
I'm in that right now.
It's pretty good. That's 20 consecutive hours is a lot of hours.
Those episodes aren't short, yeah.
It's a very dark and depressing show too, and I thought it would make me more depressed during all this COVID thing, but it actually kind of made me feel like, man, my life could be a lot worse. Yeah. Cool. How about you, Jeff? What's the most boring thing you've done?
Well, like, my most fun idea I had while I was bored was probably having you feed me lunch down the railing on our stairs.
Yeah. We slid like a full meal down the railing of the stairs into Jeff's face.
Which so wait, like the noodle shoot that they have in Japan, you know, where they like send the little chilled noodles down the slide.
But we just did it down the banister. And it like
sandwich, apple.
It didn't fall off?
No. The apple
came in really had some fast. Speed. I thought it broke my nose.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, we've been keeping busy, obviously. We today are going to be doing the second podcast of Tooth and Claw. Yeah, that's what we call this thing.
Still fluid.
Yeah, that's still fluid. So if anyone out there has a better idea what to call this, we'll take it. But we like Tooth and Claw for now. Yeah, what else is going on? It's a pretty weird time for everyone. One thing that's been weird for me as a wildlife expert is all these different fake stories that have been coming up about wildlife is flourishing and nature's returning. There's one of like the Venice canals are clear, and it was actually a different part of some different canals. And then I just read one that was the bear population in Yosemite is quadrupled.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so in a month, the bears have had 4 times the offspring that they typically have. You know, their gestation period's 8 months, but they're actually just going to have, you know, quadruple their population in a month. And like, if you read the article, it kind of explained that they just meant they've been seeing a lot more bears. But anyway, there's been a lot of that stuff out there that's been pretty annoying. That's old crabby Wes complaining about the fluff pieces on the news.
Well, speaking of crabs, what are we talking about today?
Oh, we're talking about tigers today. I guess we might as well launch into this. So today we're going to talk about Siberian tigers.
So where do you find these Siberian tigers?
You actually find them in Far East Russia, just north of North Korea and just to the east of China. So there's like a little strip of Russia that kind of comes
Siberia,
down.
Siberia, are you talking about?
No, it's not Siberia. So they used to live in Siberia.
It's tricky.
Yeah, it is tricky. They used to live in like Mongolia, Siberia, all these different places, but now their range has been drastically reduced and they're only in the far eastern little strip of Russia that again is like just north of North Korea.
Okay.
None in North Korea?
No, and there's a few in China, but if their population does expand, they'll probably expand in North Korea.
Really?
Yeah. My dog Bryce is here too. You guys may hear her a little bit.
We'll try to get her riled up for
exactly.
You.
Feed her some French fries. Yeah, so that's where they're at right now. There's about 500 of them in the wild. There's not many, but there's a lot more than there was a little while ago. So
before the virus.
Yeah, they've been pretty hard. Which is interesting. The only animal, like wild animal, that they've found it in has been a tiger.
Oh, really?
Which is just like how the tiger get tested. Zoo.
Yeah. Yeah. No people can get tested, yeah. But we got them for all the zoo tigers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there has been a tiger that has it. And then I think a couple domestic animals have been tested positive too. But as far as I know, wild animals or, you know, enclosed wild animals, that tiger is the only one. Anyway, so there's about 500 of them. There used to be less than that, but they've had some pretty good conservation and their numbers have remained relatively stable for a while now and even gone up a little bit. Anyway, though, the tiger that we're going to talk about today wasn't actually a tiger in the wild. It was a tiger in a zoo. Her name was Tatiana, which is a nice Russian name for a Siberian tiger.
It's a good tiger name. Yeah. Solid name.
Yeah. She was born in Denver, and then she, at 4 years old, after she was born, she was sent to San Francisco, and at the time of this attack, she was 4 years old. So this is an attack of a tiger that was in captivity.
Yeah.
What is year?
2007.
Okay.
Good year.
Yeah, great year.
2007 was a good year.
I think 2007 was a pretty poor year for me. Really? I think it was probably one of my worst years, actually.
Huh.
But
you want to get into it?
Nah, we'll leave that. All we'll leave that in the past.
All right.
All right.
Maybe
so,
next podcast.
Yeah, maybe. if coronavirus keeps going, I'm sure I'll open up even more.
Sure.
Anyway, Tatiana had a kind of a history. A few years before this incident that we're going to talk about, she had mauled a keeper that was too close to an enclosure grill when he was feeding her. And she pulled his arm through that grill and really mauled it pretty bad. The dude was in the hospital and he sued the zoo and there's this whole thing. But so she kind of had a bit of a history. So fast forward, we're in 2007. There's three dudes that are in the zoo and the zoo's closing. So the zoo closes at 5 and they're just kind of in, you know, one of the last groups to leave. And they're by the tiger exhibit and Tatiana gets out. And we're going to kind of go into that a little bit of like how this tiger got out of its exhibit, but she gets out. And the three people there, we have Carlos Souza Jr., who's 17, and then two brothers, Paul and Kulbir Dhaliwal. So there's these three guys, and they're by the tiger exhibit. They likely were doing some stuff to make this tiger angry, whether that's throwing things inside the exhibit or jumping up on the wall and kind of like running around and yelling at the tiger. There's a good chance that they were provoking the tiger. And we're going to talk a little bit more about why there's a good chance that happened, but probably happened. So Tatiana is pissed off. She hates that she's being provoked, jumps out of her cage. And she immediately hits Kulbir, who is the...
Wait, she just like jumped out?
Which we're going to talk about. She jumps out.
They should have thought about that.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. It's pretty interesting actually. But she mauls Kulbir. And instead of running away, both Carlos Souza Jr. and Kulbir's brother, Paul, kind of stand their ground and yell at her. And she comes at Carlos Souza instead.
Probably wouldn't have done that.
It's a big tiger.
To their credit.
Yeah.
Like if a tiger jumped out of its enclosure.
Me and Wes, I'm going to attack. Yeah. You and Wes are just standing there.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Probably run.
I'll say this much, like with bears, I've had some pretty scary circumstances that I've had to do, you know, with like going into their dens and all of that stuff. But recently I was in India and I got to go to this tiger enclosure where there's a tiger that they had that had killed someone and they had this big enclosure for it. But to feed it, they'd bring it into this really small enclosure that you could get right up against the bars. And when that thing came in and started like eating and staring at me, I've never like been so intimidated by an animal. Like never in my life have I seen an animal that just wanted to kill me so badly. And like I knew the second that tiger was out, I was toast. There was absolutely nothing I could do. And with bears, there's this whole suite of things that I know I can try and do to survive. And I was just like, man, if this thing gets out, I am just screwed. It was so big and so powerful. So I don't know. For me, I agree, like to some extent, I agree that what do you do, you know?
Yeah. I'm pretty confident I would stand my ground. If one of you were getting mauled.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But But I don't blame...
I would rather, like, die than run away from my best friend or my brother getting eaten.
I wouldn't blame you guys for running away.
Yeah. But Carlos Souza is the next to get mauled.
Yeah.
And he's killed by this tiger. Oh.
So he regrets it.
Yeah. But he's killed. And probably part of that is because the brothers do take off when the tiger starts mauling him. He gets his throat slashed pretty immediately by the tiger. So maybe they, you know, who knows? I'm guessing their whole account of this thing is sealed because I couldn't find anything that's from the brothers. Anyways, we're going to get into like what happened legally after all of this. And I'm guessing that because they did end up reaching a settlement with these people that everything kind of got sealed
they
up.
They can't talk.
There are 911 calls and a few other things that you can access from this.
Oh, interesting.
I couldn't pull them up for some reason, but they are out there. So I
wonder who the legal representation for the tiger was.
We're going to talk about that, actually. So Carlos Souza tragically mauled to death by this tiger. The brothers run off. And they go to get help. And they don't go very far. There's a cafe about 300 yards away, 250 yards away. And this part's pretty scary to me. They run to this cafe. They're banging on the door trying to get in. And the cafe workers, because the zoo had just closed, they think that these are like crazy people that are just left in the zoo. And they refuse to open the door for them.
Oh, no.
So these two dudes know that there's like a tiger that just possibly killed their friend. And that, you know, is still out there and they're banging on the door trying to get in. And the cafe does immediately call the police, but they call it on the brothers because they're like, oh, there's these two crazy dudes, you know, and they're saying a tiger attacked them, but they've never had anything like this happen before. So they don't really believe them. And so the police take 23 minutes to respond. The cafe realizes through the zoo communication that there is a tiger out. Cool Beer is outside and he gets to a payphone or something and he calls the police.
I thought he was the one that died.
Carlos. Oh, Sosa. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
So Cool Beer has been mauled at this point.
Okay, yeah.
But he didn't die. He gets on the phone and he's like, they won't let us in, you know, all this stuff is going on. And then while he's on the phone, the police show up. But at this point, Tatiana has followed their trail of blood to where they are. And she's just kind of sitting nearby. And then she attacks and mauls Paul. And then as the police show up, she's attacking Cool Beer too. And so he's on the phone with them when she starts attacking him. And the call ends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she's attacking him. The police show up. There's this whole problem with them even getting in the zoo because the zoo's on lockdown because they have a freaking tiger that's like on the loose killing people.
Yeah.
And then it's like tracked these two dudes down and it starts mauling them. And the crazy thing about that too is it walks past the warthog exhibit. It walks past a lot of different stuff that it could kill to go get these dudes. And there's this whole discussion online about whether this was like a vengeance attack or not. And tigers are one of the few animals where if you do look into that, there's some pretty compelling instances that look like they just get pissed off enough to where they're like, I'm killing those people.
Yeah. I remember a story you told me about a hunter wounding a tiger and the tiger just like camping out at his cabin for a while until the guy came out.
Yeah, there's a whole book. It's called The Tiger. I haven't read it yet, but it's about that. There's some pretty wild things with tigers and kind of vengeance is like a very human characteristic, but that's the closest thing that it comes to. It's more just them getting so provoked that they're just zeroed in on neutralizing whatever's provoking them. So anyways, it follows the kids there, starts mauling them again. The police do show up, and when they turn on their lights to distract the tiger from mauling, I think it's mauling Cool Beer at the time, they turn on the lights, and it works miraculously. The tiger starts coming towards them, and they open fire on it, and they shoot it a ton of times, and then go up and shoot it in the head to make sure it's dead. So tragically, Tatiana as well dies. What happens afterwards is obviously there's a lot of lawsuits because you don't go to the zoo thinking that maybe a tiger is going to get out and kill you, you know? Right. Whether or not these dudes provoked this tiger, they're kids. You know, we're talking about a 17 and 19 and a 23-year-old. All three of them had alcohol in their system. All three of them had marijuana in their system. And that sucks that, like, they're probably getting blamed for all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But how many people are going to the zoo every day that have alcohol in their system or marijuana in their system, yelling stuff and doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing? And it's actually a misdemeanor to harass the animals in the zoo. Mm-hmm. So had they gotten caught doing this, they would have been, you know, and not attacked.
Sure.
They would have been given a misdemeanor. They just pushed this tiger too far, and it was in an enclosure that it could get out of. They go through litigation. Cool Beer and Paul both sue. They get $900,000 as a settlement, which is like pretty good settlement, I think, you know, for surviving.
So would you, you think you'd get mauled by a tiger for $900,000? That's a good question. If you knew you were going to live through.
I was honestly thinking about that.
My question would be, but would we lose your, one of us.
If your friend dies, that's the problem.
I'd do it.
It's a, you know, one.
I'll roll the dice.
One tiger mauling.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Well, they got 450.
20
each.
Years of working a job you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
$450,000 is a lot of money.
Oh, they had to split it?
That's the settlement for both of them. We're going to get into kind of the negligence on the part of the zoo, which we talked about.
Cafe, right. Or that like food place probably should have let him in hindsight, right?
Yeah. Soza, they definitely should have. Soza's dad, the kid that died, said that Paul did admit being drunk and waving and yelling at the animal. However, and there was like some zoo visitors that were witnesses saying that that probably happened, but there wasn't any hard proof that had happened. So they did win these lawsuits. They won $900,000. And then the Soza family won an undisclosed amount. So I'm guessing it's like quite a bit more because their boy
again. Lifetime boy passes died. To the zoo.
Yeah. Lifetime passes to the zoo. The zoo did actually shut down for a couple weeks. Both teams hired different people to kind of be their expert witnesses. Lori Gage was a tiger expert that analyzed the scene. And she said the tiger was almost certainly provoked to a high level to be able to jump out of the enclosure. And then she says, with my knowledge of tiger behavior, I cannot imagine a tiger trying to jump out of its enclosure unless it was provoked. So that I thought that was interesting, her saying, I can't imagine a tiger trying to jump out of its enclosure unless it was provoked. Yeah. That's definitely imaginable to me. To me, if you put a tiger in an enclosure that it can get out of, it's imaginable that it's going to get out of it.
So how long had the tiger been in this zoo?
It's been there for a few years.
Years. And it hadn't ever tried to do this before.
It had never tried to jump out. Now, the...
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
On the other hand, like the Soza family attorney, Michael Cardoza, his quote was, keep in mind these are animals. Who knows why they do anything?
Strong argument.
So imagine... I just read that and I'm like, imagine you're this lady who's spent her entire life devoted to studying tiger behavior. And this lawyer just walks out and is like, who knows why they do anything? You know? Like, oh, I just can't imagine how frustrated she must have been. She had to go to the scene and follow the blood trail and learn all this stuff. And this guy's just like, well, they're animals. But he won, so he must have been a good lawyer. Okay, so now we're going to get into how this actually happened. I'm going to paint a mental picture for you guys here. We've got the enclosure, and it's got a wall with all these things for the tiger to play on and like a little jungle. And then there's a little hill that goes down into a moat. And then on the other side of that moat, there's a 12.5-foot concrete wall. So pretty much for this tiger to be able to get out, it had to jump from the bottom of this moat to the top of a 12.5-foot wall. Now, the moat was completely empty. There was no water in it. In 1960, I believe, there's a Bengal tiger in the same exhibit that jumped out. And they filled the moat with water.
Mm.
And then the Bengal tiger couldn't get out anymore because you couldn't get the same purchase like jumping out of water. But they just kind of put this new tiger in there and figured things would be fine.
Forgot about it.
A bigger species. Siberian tigers are the biggest species of tiger.
Mm.
Yeah, they just assumed that it was going to be okay.
Right.
Now,
12 feet? 12.5? I mean, I feel like...
You would think that would be enough.
The best NBA players could probably get to like a rim that's 12.5.
Yeah, and this is the tallest.
Like the best jumpers, I mean.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before, though. Nothing... You've said like, oh, is there anything that jumps better than an NBA player? And almost everything does. Especially a tiger.
Yeah.
It's insane what they can do. I've seen these videos where they just jump, you know, they jump an insane amount up or over.
I mean, you think about an NBA player with their arms up, they're already 9 feet. They just got to go like 3 feet.
Yeah.
A tiger's got to jump.
It's got to go some distance, but like her muscles and like her like kind of pouncing and like fully extending her body. She's probably close to that length in her body too. And then she just has to get her paws out in front of her and grab that ledge and pull up.
Yeah. Well, like 25 years of cat videos.
25 years of cat
videos. I don't know. It's probably been about that long that I've been watching cat videos. If I were in charge of this zoo, I would have been
25 years. Here's to 25 years.
25 more. But I'm just saying, if I was in charge of this tiger exhibit, I would have made like an 80-foot wall. Like,
yeah, just no just one can see the tigers.
No one can see it. I don't care. I don't know.
This isn't Jurassic Park. We're not talking about a T-Rex here.
And make it all electrified. And
okay.
Well, in Jurassic Park, it doesn't work.
That's
either.
True. If that's not a great book.
I've watched the movie.
Seen the movie a few times.
They get out.
It's probably the movie I've seen the most. They do get out. That's true. Something. Okay, so we're going to talk about this a little bit. Because there actually is a standard for how high tiger enclosure walls should be. And that standard's enforced by the American Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And what they recommend is 16.4 feet. 16.4, like, that's a pretty precise number.
Specific.
Someone sat down and really, you know, did the numbers on what a Siberian tiger can do. And they realized at 16.4, we're safe. That's what their recommendation is. So technically, a zoo like San Francisco could have a 12.5-foot wall. They get checked every once in a while, and they'll be like, oh, you know, your tiger exhibit isn't quite up to standards. And they're like, okay, you know, we'll work on that. As long as their tigers aren't getting out, which, mind you, one did get out in 1960, they're not too concerned about it.
I'm kind of curious, would any other animal have, like, a higher wall, you think?
I don't know. I was thinking about that, too.
Like a bird?
Leopards are great climbers. Yeah, birds
are. Bird.
Yeah. If I'm talking non-bird animals, I would think maybe a leopard.
Okay.
Because they really are just incredible climbers. And they're not as big as tigers and not as powerful, but they really can climb. Okay, so 16.4 is the recommended standard. We're at 12.5 feet. So after this happened, they interviewed the director of the zoo, and he said, obviously, now that something's happened, we're going to be revisiting that actual height. So that was his quote. Like, we're going to revisit that. Pretty terrible response, in my opinion. You got to kind of just own up to that.
And say, people probably found out, hey, this isn't the first time this has happened with this enclosure.
Right. And for me, if I'm going to the zoo and I'm going to be around animals that are potentially dangerous, I kind of just have in the back of my head, I'm safe. They're in enclosures. The experts have looked at this. They've decided that this animal can't get out of this enclosure.
Yeah.
And, you know, they failed to do that. And so for me, as much as you want to say these guys provoked them or they were drunk or whatever, you expect a certain amount of safety going to the zoo. And if the tiger gets out and kills you or mauls you,
I'd be mad.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be pretty mad.
If it killed you,
yeah,
I'd be pretty upset.
So I definitely side on the side of the victims in this one. It sucks, too, because they end up having to kill a tiger because the tiger just got provoked and got out and did what tigers do.
Well, who's the real victim here is what I want to know.
Who?
I mean, this tiger was just doing what naturally came to it. It got blasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no like, winner here.
I don't think it should have been killed.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, it probably should have been, because don't animals, once they kill once,
it's not even that.
Tigers are going to kill if they're wild tigers.
Mm. Well, yeah, we're going to get into the tiger biology a little bit, but it's not the whole like man-eater thing isn't like a proven thing. There definitely have been tigers in the past that decide that humans are easy prey and they just start picking off humans. But it's not like a rule that if an animal eats or kills someone that's suddenly addicted to killing people.
Where'd that come from? Is this like a Hollywood
thing? Yeah, it's a Hollywood thing.
Mm. But I mean, on the other hand, a lot of animals go to the zoo if they've ate a person because
they want to avoid that.
You don't want those in the wild.
Well, what it is, that's more of a liability issue though, where if there's a tiger out in the wild that kills someone and then they decide not to put it in the zoo and it kills someone else, then suddenly you have a really good legal case to be like, wait, you guys just let this animal continue living in the wild when it's already killed someone?
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah,
type
so
thing.
Generally it's a liability thing. It's not so much like, it's for sure going to kill more people.
Yeah.
Anyway, to your original question, though, like, why'd they kill the tiger? Because it was mauling someone.
Yeah,
it was out.
It's obvious
attacking
why.
Like, had they had a more controlled environment where they could have, you know, had it just gotten out or something. But when it's like right next to someone and about to go attack someone again, you got to shoot it.
They killed Harambe just for like protecting that little kid.
Yeah, exactly.
I know I'm going to maybe play a little bit of devil's advocate here, but maybe this should just be saved for later, but. Just the fact in the first place that it was being kept in a probably not
Yeah.
You know, its naturally sized habitat is hundreds of miles, and not all of a sudden, it's not natural for tigers to be cooped up, and you can't really blame one for, like, going crazy and trying to escape.
But the interesting thing about that, and I was thinking about that too, is the fact that this tiger probably knew it could get out of its exhibit. Right. You know, it didn't do it until it had a reason to, until it was like finally pissed off enough that it was like, okay, I'm going to go kill these kids, you know, but it probably knew up until that point that it could make that jump.
Yeah.
And it didn't. Like, a lot of zoos do a really great job of giving the animal everything it needs. You know, giving it shelter, giving it protection, which are things animals want, you know, that whole hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. And then also, this tiger was specifically brought in to mate with a male tiger, so it had mating opportunities. And then they also get really great enrichment. So a lot of times these animals that we think just want to be out roaming these huge areas, the only reason they're roaming is so they can find food.
It's a fight for survival.
Yeah. And like, if they actually have everything they need in a smaller area, a lot of times they're pretty content. Now, I'm not to say that like Tatiana was that way. There definitely are animals that shouldn't be in captivity, but zoos do a great job of contributing to conservation and inspiring people. And I'm pretty pro zoo if they do it the right way.
Sure.
And this one really made me think about that because she just decided to jump out. You know, this wasn't something she was trying every day. And they were like, oh, that Tatiana, she's figuring it out. Mm-hmm. One day she's like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go kill something.
You know? I guess thinking about it that way, that's not a bad gig. Because I'm already sitting in my room basically 20 hours of the day anyways. Yeah. And they're like, you get food and someone to have sex with. I would be hard pressed to think of any reason why I wouldn't accept that.
Yeah, that's an interesting, interesting point. But
thanks.
Yeah.
It is crazy just like how much of a grudge tigers can hold for something like that.
Totally. Though. So that same tiger that I saw in India, the guy that comes in and feeds it, that tiger absolutely hates that dude. It's this huge male tiger. Its paw is as big as my head. And when the dude comes in and feeds it, it just jumps up against the bars and is just like roaring and hissing and spitting. And that guy's like, I have no doubt in my mind that the second this tiger got out, it would come kill me. And he doesn't abuse it, or there's nothing going on there. It's just decided that it doesn't like this dude. And that tiger's really well taken. It has a huge enclosure and tons of space.
It'd be crazy just putting yourself in their shoes, throwing some little rocks or something at the tiger. I don't know why they did it. Probably to make it react or do stuff.
High. They're high too. Yeah.
And then you're just walking away like, oh, where should we go now? Maybe I want to check out the monkeys. And then all of a sudden there's a tiger jumping on your back.
Yeah.
Like that's not even a thought for me at a zoo, you know?
You guys should do a little online research how often animals get out in zoos.
Oh, really?
Even here in Utah, the leopard got out pretty recently. It's not an aggressive animal. But they're just good at figuring out how to get out. And it didn't go very far. It like went up a nearby tree. But I was thinking about that too, Jeff. They probably had spent the zoo was closing. So they'd probably harassed a lot of animals that day. Yeah. And they were like, we did it, you know? And they're like, save the tiger for last. And that's the one that got him. Anyway, the zoo did extend they reopened. They extended their wall to the minimum height of 16 feet, 4 inches. And then on top added some plexiglass to a total height of 19 feet. No tigers are getting out of there anymore. They put a hot wire in. I imagine, I don't know really what their current tiger status is.
So was that tiger in the prime of its life? Is 4 years kind of like when tigers are really fully developed and...
Yeah, I mean, they brought that tiger
ready
in
to hop out of zoo enclosures.
Yeah, exactly. They brought it in to mate, so it was sexually mature, which means it's in its prime. I read a few different things. One said she was 200-something pounds, and one said she was 350.
You never discuss a woman's weight, Wes.
No, I'm sorry.
Males get bigger?
The males get bigger.
Okay.
Are there any difference in aggression levels between the genders, or is that...
You know what? I'm not totally sure what the proportion of attacks is on people, females versus males. Mm. I do know that they will cub defend, so
a
female with cubs is probably going to be a bit trickier than like just your regular old tiger. But I don't, I don't know if there's a big difference between the proportion of attacks between males and females.
Yeah.
Siberian tigers aren't responsible for a ton of attacks because they live in pretty remote areas in the wild. There are a few out there that I've read about, but Bengal tigers in India are the ones that are really notorious. And it's because they share space with tons of people.
And their Bengals are the highest population of tigers.
Yeah, correct? By far. Yeah.
I was watching a game show the other day, and they had a question. What's the highest amount of people a single tiger has killed?
Yeah.
And it was like a true or false question. Do you guys want to guess the number?
Yeah, let's I'm going to guess 250.
By a single tiger?
By a single tiger. It's insane what some tigers do.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll go 200,000.
200,000?
Yeah. It's my lucky number.
That's a little high. So Wes wins Price is Right rules and just any rules because that was ridiculous. But it was 436 people. Oh, one single tiger killed in Nepal and India.
Yeah. Like they used to, those like kind of like great white hunters that they used to have, you know, back in the 1800s, they would have those guys go over to India and hunt these tigers that have killed hundreds of people, and leopards too. Leopards would kill a couple hundred people too. So it's pretty crazy. And we'll probably do an episode about some of those stories because they're wild.
Yeah, we ought to.
And those are Bengal tigers, and they still kill like 50 people a year, which is a pretty high number for an animal.
Per tiger.
Yeah, no, not per tiger. Okay. So we're going to give a couple more facts about Siberian tigers. They are the largest of all tiger species. They, in the wild, can kill a lot of different animals, a few different ungulates, which are deer and elk and moose. They do kill moose. They also kill both Asiatic black bears and brown bears.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And they actually kill, even though the brown bears are bigger and tougher, they kill more brown bears because they kind of prefer the same habitat as tigers, kind of these open grasslands and stuff, whereas black bears are more kind of up in the trees. And it's just
what's the plan of attack when they're attacking something so
they're big? They're stalk and kill predators.
Do they like go for the neck?
They go for the neck. Okay. Yeah, they actually try and like sever the spine, from what I understand. So like a bite to the spine to sever it, and that's not for everything, but for bears, that's a really good question. But for bears, that's kind of their tactic because they need to kill them real quick. Mm. With a deer or something like that, what they're
does it paralyze the bear?
It probably just kills it. Yeah.
Okay.
So they don't mess around with their prey. They just kind of go for the kill.
Yeah. So with any other animal, like a deer or something like a little bit smaller, most of the big cats will suffocate it by biting the throat.
Sure.
And they just clamp down so hard on the throat that the animal actually kind of suffocates. And but with the bears, because they can really get messed up, they'll go for this kind of killing blow. There's not very much record of that, but they do guess that bears might make up 2% of a Siberian tiger's yearly food, which is pretty high. That's higher than I thought. And then they do kill wolves and stuff too. Anywhere that Siberian tigers are, you're not going to find many wolves because wolves don't want to share the same habitat with them. These guys are kind of like the badass of any animal. Mm. If you can kill a brown bear, you know, if it's not only can you kill it, but it's like part of your diet, then you're a pretty tough animal. Yeah. So their tongues are so rough that they can clean meat from bone, and they average 20 pounds of meat per day in the wild. Now, that doesn't mean they're killing every day. It means they probably kill something like once a week, but they just eat so much that it averages out to about 20 pounds.
Right.
And they'll come back to it and stuff.
I can relate.
Yeah. Okay, so we probably should talk about, you know, what you would actually do if you encounter a tiger in the wild. And the main thing is avoiding a tiger attack. So making some noise, kind of letting a tiger know you're coming is one thing, because then you're not like surprising one. You're not risking pissing off a tiger and having it attack you. So they kind of say to make a basic human level of noise, not necessarily big loud noises, because again, that might piss off the tiger. And then also just kind of traveling in groups. Most predators or animals don't like attacking groups of people. So that's kind of an important thing too. Outside of that, if you actually are attacked by a tiger, there's very little that you can do if you don't have like a gun or bear spray or something to kind of fend it off. If it wants to kill you, it's probably going to kill you. One thing to remember though about like most of the tiger attacks that are happening in the world are happening in India, and they're happening in this region where you have these people, you know, who live a very kind of rural lifestyle, and they're out fishing or like collecting wood or doing these different things where the tiger mistakes them for prey or thinks they're prey and decides to kill them. That is something, it's really hard for them to avoid these kind of things because of their lifestyle. And so there are, I'm sure there's groups out there that are trying to teach and educate people on how to be better prepared in Tiger Country. But if you, if someone listening to us decides to go out, spend some time in Tiger Country, what I would recommend is talking to an expert and getting an expert kind of opinion on what to do.
That's good advice, because talking, you're making noise. Tigers will be frightened.
Yeah.
Just bring an expert along you can be making noise with.
You got more people there. Yeah.
It's a good solution.
Yeah.
That's efficient.
It is.
Good idea, Wes.
Well, that's pretty
much it. All right.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions about tiger biology?
No, you really touched
on it. Yeah, I think we got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's go into some of our categories. Jeff, let's do your category first.
Okay. Oh, wait. So
go ahead, announce it.
We've talked about a few, but I'm assuming you mean what's your favorite tiger?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we're going, what's your favorite tiger? No rules, just your favorite tiger.
Yeah.
We'll start with Mike.
I'm going to go with Hobbs.
Okay, so Mike took
Hobbs,
mine.
You want to explain who Hobbs is?
Yeah, so Thomas Hobbes was one of the foremost philosophers of his day back in the 15, 1600s.
So you're talking about Thomas Hobbes, not Hobbes the tiger.
I guess maybe that doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't work as a tiger.
Doesn't work.
Maybe I'll go with Tigger then.
Tigger?
There's a lot. So tigers are my favorite animal.
Really?
I think.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure that's been kind of like the one that comes to mind whenever someone asks the question for a long time now.
Yeah.
They're just,
for me.
There's so many good tigers.
Yeah.
Tigger could get over 16 and a half feet with his tail bounce. Yeah. All right.
I'm going to go Hobbs.
Wes?
From Calvin Hobbs? And Hobbs. The
Calvin
actual
Hobbs.
Hobbs,
yeah. Okay.
Hobbs and Shaw.
I grew up with, Hobbs and Shaw.
The actual Hobbs?
I grew up with Calvin and Hobbs. It was like a very important comic for me.
Sure.
I have all like the collections and everything.
I was going to pick actual Hobbs, but I knew you were going to as well. So
you did fake Hobbs or real Hobbs that Calvin and Hobbs is probably inspired by? I don't know.
I wonder.
Yeah. Tigers are also a favorite for me, so that is a hard pick. They're one of the cooler animals out there.
I think they're awesome.
Yeah.
Tigers, like, I like Calvin and Hobbes comics better, but Tigger's kind of cooler how he hops on his tail.
I never got into Winnie the Pooh at all.
Yeah.
I just didn't do it for me.
For
Who's
me,
your favorite?
Well, I'll pick a couple of my favorite episodes and show you afterwards.
For me, I was leaning Tony the Tiger, but then I was like, he's kind of
a bro.
Just like bursts into scenes and like, they're great. And like, he's a little bit too much.
He's a shill.
So I think I'm going to go with the Tiger and Swiss Family Robinson.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good
pick. Does it have a name?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Yeah. But like, if you haven't seen the movie, there's a little boy just like, there's whole family stranded on an island, and this little boy really wants to catch a tiger, and the dad's just like as encouraging as possible for this little like 12-year-old to catch a tiger.
He's all in on the tiger plan.
And then they like use the tiger to kill some pirates. It's a good tiger.
Yeah, it's funny. We recently watched that movie, and I had been reading about how easily this tiger jumped out of its enclosure. And when it's in that pit in that movie, I'm like, oh, that tiger could easily jump out of that thing.
Yeah.
They also just full on have that tiger fight some dogs and stuff in that movie. The animal cruelty laws have come a long way, because in that movie, they're just having them do everything.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how many tigers they went through.
Or dogs.
Yeah, or dogs, exactly. Probably a lot more dogs than tigers. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to our next category.
So let's put it cage match against our last animal, the grizzly bear.
Yeah. We've kind of already answered that.
If you get full-size Siberian tiger, full-size grizzly bear, 10 times, how many times does the tiger win?
I think the tiger wins 7 out of 10.
Okay.
There are records of bears killing tigers.
Yeah.
In those same places where tigers kill bears. But if one of them kind of seeks out the other one as a potential prey,
yeah,
then you know that one's pretty confident that it's generally gonna win.
But wait, so we're talking about tigers are like the stalk and kill, but if they're like squared up in a ring match,
that's
they're both
a good
prepared
point.
They've gone through months of intensive training. I don't know, I could see it being a little more evenly split.
That's true, that's a good point, because everything I did read about those kind of like predations and like the tigers attacking bears was it talked a lot about how the element of surprise is really important for the tigers in those meetups. Mm. So you bring up a good point. Like, if you do have a bear and a tiger in a cage and they're fighting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That does make me think more about it. Maybe it'd be more of like a 50-50 split, or maybe even
the bear.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
And the brown bears that they're killing are probably smaller than your average brown bear. I don't know. Well, they have some pretty big brown bears over there. Okay. Our next category is where can you see this animal? So there's not a great place to go see Siberian tigers. They're incredibly rare. They are getting a little bit more common, but really your only spot is that spot we were talking about.
San Francisco Zoo.
San Francisco Zoo. Yeah. You can get real close to them there. So if you do want to see one in the wild, you got to go to Eastern Russia.
Don't go to Siberia.
Yeah, don't go to Siberia.
Don't get tricked into thinking.
Okay, so how are we messing things up for them? They are being killed by poaching, hunting. The hunting's like legal hunting for them is pretty much over, but they still are poached, you know, mostly for their use in traditional Chinese medicine. And then obviously like habitat loss is a huge thing for them. So if we can kind of restore habitat for them, they'll probably bounce back. And luckily they are an animal that a lot of people care about. So they do have a lot of conservation groups that are kind of fighting for them.
That's good.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
All right. And then our last category is, do we like this animal? So we know Mike has a number of animals that he truly doesn't like. Me and Jeff like most animals.
That's fair.
But you've already kind of said that you're a fan of tigers.
Yeah, I love tigers. Just aesthetically, as far as their natural behaviors and capabilities, just physically, I don't know. I think that they're a compelling animal just beyond just their beauty. If I were to compare it to a human counterpart, it'd be like a James Bond kind of, yeah, like cool and smooth and like really lithe and graceful, but like, yeah, super dangerous too. Yeah, you know,
Daniel Craig's James Bond. No. Because he's got the cool eyes.
No way, dude. It's gotta be Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah,
it's one of the worst James Bonds.
Yeah, but he's still, you know,
yeah,
he's pretty cool.
He was kind of our James Bond growing up, I guess. I get that. For me, I'm the same way. I absolutely adore tigers. Like I said, I was in India recently. I got to see two wild tigers, which was such a treat. I was in a national park specifically looking for tigers, and I saw two of them. I get so excited to see animals in the wild. Rarely does it like make me emotional, and seeing tigers in the wild kind of did. It was such an impressive animal to see in the wild, and they're just so cool. Like, they're just kind of the top predator. There's obviously like bigger predators. We got like orcas and polar bears and stuff. Okay. But as far as just being good at what they do, there's not anything much better than a tiger.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I like tigers. If I'm like ranking it, I would probably put it top 10 animals. I'd put it behind the grizzly that we already did.
Yeah.
And then
you pick like a jaguar over
as far as big cats go, it'd be my second favorite. Jaguars are my favorite.
Yeah. Mm. I have a hard time ranking the big cats because I might be like jaguar number one, two, and then maybe even mountain lions before tigers.
Oh, what? Interesting.
I love a mountain lion.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
You like mountain lions more than lions?
I think so. They're just so cool.
I'm not big on lions.
Okay.
I don't know. The whole like King of the Jungle monikers.
Well, and they're like in prides and kind of lazy, and like tigers are solitary hunters, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I just
no offense to all you lion lovers out there. I'm sure we're going to talk about lions
big
too.
Lion.
I love lions.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole king thing. I'm just not a monarchist.
The funny thing too is that tigers are bigger than lions, but I think growing up we all kind of thought that lions were bigger because they are king of the jungle. But tigers are bigger, and there actually are Asiatic lions, so they did used to share space. And they still do in one tiny little part of India. And I bet the lions are afraid of tigers because they're just bigger and meaner.
So tigers are the biggest cat.
Siberian tigers are the biggest cat.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the biggest and kind of the toughest too, as far as I'm concerned.
Unless there's like the saber-toothed tiger still roaming around somewhere out there.
There's not. We'll answer that for you.
Oh, there isn't?
Oh. Been gone for a long time. Yeah. One thing that's cool about tigers, like, so I was in India learning about sloth bears, which are this tiny, you know, there's pretty small little Indian species of bear, but they're super aggressive, and that's because they cohabitate with tigers, and they're in the same area as tigers. And so when a tiger comes at one, they hit it with everything they've got. And tigers are smart enough to kind of do this risk assessment and think, okay, I can kill this thing. They know they can kill a sloth bear, but how messed up am I going to get by taking this on rather than just like a deer? So a lot of times they won't attack a sloth bear because a tiger needs every muscle in its body to survive. Whereas a bear can take a pretty big hit and still survive because it's just eating insects and plants and stuff. Mm-hmm. But a tiger, to be able to continue to hunt, really needs everything working at full speed. Yeah. And so if a bear comes at it with everything, the tiger's like, okay.
So you know, tigers right. kind of make everything around them tougher.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's kind of, yeah. So it's pretty neat. They're just a cool animal and one that is, I really hope we keep around.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Anyway,
our disclaimer again is we love animals more than anyone in the world. We don't think they're bloodthirsty things. We think that people understanding this stuff will actually help them better appreciate animals rather than be afraid of them. But it is good to have them out there and have that kind of healthy fear of them too.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Cool. Thanks, everyone.
All right. We'll see you later.
Are you a Marvel fan?
Matt, you know I am.
Jeff, I was asking the listener.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it seemed like a weird question because, you know, we've been doing a Marvel podcast together for 9 years now.
No, no, I was trying to grab the attention of all the Marvel fans out there for this ad.
Oh.
I thought it was weird, too. You should definitely warn us.
Good note, Ashley. Well, if you like Marvel movies and TV as much as we do, join us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast.
He did it again.